Are you feeling hurted? Do you feel like you're just a slab of beef to many people around you, that you're not really an important thing, that you could be replaced by any other piece of meat that came by? Well, if you feel like that, perhaps you're beginning to understand that in many people's eyes, you're just like a cow. Welcome to Quasi Indefatigable Gentlemen, the place where cows break out of their, I don't want to call it a shell, what the cows have. Cows break out of their hides and become fully realized, great, fantastic human beings that can think for themselves rather than just following the herd. I'm Jay Nevro, and this is actually part two. This is the second part of our of the series on child development. The last podcast that I recorded was about kind of about the history of child development, how it got going, some of the basics of what child development came from and what it's trying to do. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about the pros and cons of child development from a person that was on the inside, not as a kid in a child care center. I don't recall ever being in a child care center, at least not as much as I can remember. I don't remember ever being in child care. I might have been, and my mom didn't tell me so, but I don't mean it that way. I mean it by that I was a practitioner. I was a preschool teacher. I ran child care centers, one for infants and toddlers, another one for the normal, what would you consider, preschoolers, and did that in several capacities, and ultimately got to the point to where I became a trainer. One of the local universities here had gotten a contract to do child care training for the state, and they hired me to be a trainer. So that's what I did. They hired me because I had lots of experience at it. So when you hear this, you can say, oh, well, he's an expert. I'm not an expert in the least. I have a bachelor's degree in this stuff, and I wouldn't go so far as to call anybody an expert. I don't like experts. I think experts are kind of scary, and that there shouldn't be any experts on anything, because I think we jump into things and call ourselves experts when all we are is a high priest or a high priestess of an orthodoxy. And I'm not big on that. Okay, so let's get on to what we're talking about, the pros and cons of child development. Like we were talking about before, child care centers, most of them I think you can class now as child development centers. Most states, as far as I'm aware, I'm only really familiar with the state of New Mexico, which I think is kind of a throwback, actually. A throwback I like. To an earlier age where you could mostly just worry about what the government was most concerned about with a child care facility. Is it basically safe? Is it basically clean? You know, do people receive a modicum of training before you let them loose on kids? And that's all that really has to be done in New Mexico. Other states, they've gone beyond this. They have enshrined in law, in regulation, more, probably better said, they've enshrined in regulation a certain style of taking care of kids, which we euphemistically now call child development, which is kind of funny. Child development is what children do naturally. You don't have to do a darn thing to a kid for them to develop. They'll just develop. It's just, it may be a different kind of development. But we call it child development, and we've spelled out exactly what it's supposed to be, what it looks like, what kind of equipment you need to have, what kind of lesson plans you need to do, how it all needs to kind of look. And anybody who has a license to do child care in most states has to pretty much abide by the formula. I did a presentation a long time ago called Beyond Child Development, where I called what happens to kids kind of a recipe. Almost everything in our lives, and I've said this before and I'll say it again because it's true, almost everything in our lives is wrapped around a concept called efficiency. I do it too. I like efficiency. I like things that with a little bit of effort put in give you a lot back. I don't like playing around, working really, really hard and only getting a little bit from it. I'm much bigger on, hey, I'm going to get something big out of this. And I think that's part of what efficiency is. You want to get the maximum return for what you put into something. And as a society, that's almost our mantra. To the point to where if something bad happens to you because you're not efficient enough, we don't really end up having a problem with that as a culture. We'll say you're lazy, you're a jerk, you're a slime, you're untrained, you need to go to college, you need to get a better understanding of things because we want you to be more efficient. And honestly, I think there's a lot of places in life where efficiency is a very bad idea. Very bad. One of the biggest ones, I think, is in the raising of our children. I think efficiency is a horrible thing to do to your kids, to be efficient, trying to put the least amount into it to get the most out of it. I think it's bad. I think you should put as much as you can into child, into your children, and if you get nothing out of it, well, that's a break. I don't want to worry about it. Anyway, child development centers, things that are licensed typically by the government to be able to do this. You have to get a license. Usually you have to go through some kind of preparation to do this, especially if you're going to be the director of a center. If you're going to actually run the place, you have to have, you know, some credentials. You had to have done this. You had to do it in the proper places. You had to go to the proper schools, whatever, so you could learn the thing I love, orthodoxy, how child development looks, so that all child care centers basically now look pretty much the same. You can see all the normal things, and people, parents have even gotten to the point to where if they don't see the orthodoxy, they don't believe you're going to do a good job. You better look pretty orthodox. So there it is. It's kind of a self-perpetuating thing. It got started because the government forced it, and then all of a sudden, everybody decided since the government forced it, it must be the right way to do it. And I'm telling you here that I don't think that's necessarily true at all. Let's take a minute just to take a look at maybe a typical circumstance in a really well-run child development center. Most centers aren't this good, but this is probably the primo circumstance that you can ever get into. And it'll be rare you'll see this except for maybe in a university lab preschool. I worked for one for probably about four to 5 years. I worked in what would be considered a model preschool that was on a university campus. All the kids were fantastic because they were all the children of halfway well-educated college students or professors. So you had several legs up on a lot of people just having those kids around. Anyway, here's the way it'll typically go. We don't want to call them kids. They're not goats. And you go, fudge. When the kid comes into your center for the first time, what happens is, and it can be overt or not, you can be sneaky about it or not, is that you start measuring that kid. You get out the thing, you say, what is their age chronologically? When's their birth date? How old are they right now? Well, they're 2.5 years old. Okay, so they should be able to do this, 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 and this. And somewhere in a file, they're going to start marking down whether they can do these things. They might even test them. Concerned parents, at least in my state, go to a place called CMS, Children's Medical Services, and they have a test done. There's several of them. One of the most popular ones is called the Denver 2 developmental screening. I guess they still call it that. They might have a Denver 3, but who knows? And it basically puts these kids through several little tests. They play with balls, they take a look at things, they arrange blocks, they do all these things in response to what you ask them to do. And according to all these little things, they measure you on this scale. In some things, you'll be pretty average. In other things, you'll be a little bit better. In others, you'll be a little bit worse. This is all recorded somewhere in some file that this child care center is gonna make on you. Anyway. In a really good child development center, all the information that goes into that file gets sorted and compared, dealt with other things. If there's many classes in your child care center, if you're in a big center, you'll tend to be grouped with kids that are on the same level as your child. That's pretty normal. We're very, very used to that school. You know, we used to just grade strictly by age. If you were born between this date and this date, you were in the third grade. So you would go to third grade with all the rest of the kids that were born between those two dates. Now we've gotten a little bit more, it really depends on how big your school system is, to see if it's broken down a little bit more. If you have more than one classroom of kids of a certain age, all of a sudden you'll start seeing segregation. This is where the really advanced kids go. They go with this teacher. And the ones that are behind go with this teacher. The ones that are kind of average go with this one. And it might be broken up any number of ways. Sometimes it's not even broken up by developmental things. It can be broke up by just we're putting all the troublemakers into one class because we want that teacher to quit. It can be for all kinds of reasons. Schools are very, very devious about some of these things. And one of the first rules I usually come up with is parents can't come in and request a teacher for a certain grade. You know? Say, I'm sorry to say it. And they'll usually lie and tell you that it's done randomly, which is a gosh darn freaking lie. I've never seen it done randomly. It's always done for political reasons or for developmental reasons or for whatever else. That's also true in your typical largest preschool. You're going to have kids separated not just by their age, but also by their ability. And the curriculum between the three groups will either be the same but altered to handle different situations, or they'll just be completely different. The whole point of child development in a child development center, the use of principles of child development, let's put it that way, I think it's more accurate, is to identify a child's weaknesses and to address them. Now, on the surface, that doesn't sound very bad, does it? If your child is behind, and let's just pick something, a term that's pretty normal, fine motor skills, that has to do with your small muscles, your fingers, your toes, things like that. Those are your fine motor skills, being able to use your pincer, your fingers to pick things up, being able to draw, being able to do pre-writing activities, things you do that hopefully will get you to the point where you can write, things like coloring within the lines, being able to draw a picture like your teacher does, which is really frowned upon in child development. All these things, you know, if your kid has problems with that, they will probably be put, if it's a really, really good center, into situations where they get more practice at that, where there's more concentration on their fine motor skills, so they can hopefully catch up with the rest of them. And it normally works. It normally works. If you concentrate on just one thing for a long time, or even just a handful of things that are your weaknesses, all of a sudden you can at least get to the point to where you're at least approaching average. And that's a whole lot of what the model of applying child development principles to child care is about. sounds really, really good. We're trying to make everything a little more fair, aren't we? We already talked about fair. I'm not going to talk about it again. You can go back and read the entire diatribe, my entire podcast, just on fairness. You can go back and see that one. So we're not going to talk about it. But it sounds really good to a lot of people. Hey, this is going to help pick up my kid in places where he lacks. That's great. Glad to hear it. Okay, now, and you can consider that one of the pros. It's really good for kids that have some deficiencies. And don't all people have at least a few deficiencies in life? Sure they do. That's pretty normal. Child development, using the principles of child development, is absolutely fantastic for dealing with what we consider to be special needs kids. The way we define special needs kids is often because on a whole bunch of criteria on whatever scale you're using, they fall short in a lot of things. So they're going to need a lot of help, a lot of intensive stuff. Governments pour a lot of money into dealing with kids with special needs. We don't like them. We want to bring them up to where they're at least average. And that's kind of our philosophy of life. If you've gone to school, or if you've observed a school, or if you were in school, you probably know that there were special places that took kids who had problems, who were behind in something, right? Well, and they had lots of special equipment. They had more one-on-one time with the teacher. They get all kinds of cool stuff. They may even be like my son Matt, who has a person that's just assigned to him. That's all they have to do. Is take care of Matt. Make sure he doesn't kill somebody. Honestly. So there's a whole lot more money that comes into a school for special needs. They like declaring a kid special needs because the state will pay them more money for that kid. They especially like getting a kid they can declare special needs that really has very little in the way of special needs. You can go to any school you want to in the world, well, at least in the United States. Let's go ahead and narrow it down. You go to any school in the United States, and the majority of their special needs kids are ones that have, let me pick one out of the air, speech and language deficiencies. That means either they slur their R's or they're a little slow reading. And, there's going to be hundreds of kids in that circumstance that get special ed. Now, they get special ed because the state pays more for that. And they don't necessarily pay more for, you know, any more depending on how needy your kid is. Like my son, who doesn't need a lot of special equipment, he does need an aid just to protect him and protect other people from his fits sometimes, or to help him concentrate on what he's doing. He said, you know, the school district doesn't get paid any more for my son, who costs quite a bit because you have to hire a whole other person just to be with him, than the school gets paid the same amount for a kid who can't say his R's right. How are you doing? Type stuff. Which can be easily remedied in a short period of time with just some people helping him concentrate on saying his R's. Doesn't even need a special teacher to do that. A regular teacher can do that really easily. But the school gets paid just as much. So the school has a real interest in having a bunch of slightly needy special needs kids, very slightly, because they get a lot of money and it helps make up for the fact that some of the special needs kids need a lot of stuff. Anyway, you know that that's our concentration. As a culture, that's what we're big on. We are really big at being a remedy for deficiencies. You can see it all throughout our culture. Look at our medical field. Does our medical field have any interest at all in, say, for instance, prevention, except for some lip service to it, trying to prevent bad things from happening. No. Our medical system, and there's a good reason why, our medical system is much more into correcting problems. There's a lot more money in it. People will pay lots and lots of money to correct the problem, right? If something bad happens to you, if you're getting cancer, there's a lot of money going to be flowing in, even from those people that have it, to try and get rid of it. There's no money there to try to prevent it in the first place, except for some lip service. The government puts a little bit of money toward that, not even near as much as they get toward trying to remedy the problem once it's there, or if it was there in the first place. We're a remedy people. We expect everyone to be normal. If you're not normal, we're going to pay a lot of money to get you to normal, which is average. And that's the biggest kink of all to this entire thing. We're going to talk about why our fascination with remedies for problems almost creates kind of a bad culture. And we're going to do that in the next one. Part 3 of Child Development coming up. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. Look for us on the internet, QUIX.US. I'm Jane Emerald. Don't just follow blindly behind other people. Don't do that. Don't be a cow.